once upon a time. Dupes said, hey, let's put on a show. And Rod said, okay. And here we are. It's a whole year of excellence. The Rod Peterson Show, show 246. Congratulations, fellas. Keep it going. Excellence every single day is tough, and you do it. Keep doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rod Peterson Show.
I love it. I love it. Thank you very much, Rick Regan. Checking in from Wichita, Kansas. Welcome, everybody, to a very big show. It is the one-year anniversary show of the Rod Peterson Show. And that's the big voice guy.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Isn't he great?
It's awesome.
I was like, where is this coming from? What's happening here? Oh, welcome, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show, episode 246, he said.
Yeah.
Canada's morning sports talk show. And say hey to Canadian sports fans around the world, thanks for chiming in. We got a really big show today. We're going to talk sports. We're not just going to talk about this show for 2 hours. We've got Gary Lawless coming up from the Vegas Golden Knights. He was the very first guest we ever had. He's been on multiple times since, but Gary will be checking in from Lost Wages. Dave Naylor will be with us, the CFL TSN insider. Kenny Miller, the beloved Ken Miller, Grandpa Miller. Good morning, Riders. See if he'll get him to say that to
you. Yeah, that'd be great.
I think he does say that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
On cue. And
yeah.
Darian Durant, of course, one of my favorite riders of all time, a close friend, doubles, is going to be joining us today. I'm all shook up. I'm like Elvis here right now because, well, for one, my shirt looks really neon.
Yeah, we got a problem with your shirt.
Can somebody run out to my car? This is yellow neon.
We got another one in the closet.
Do
we? I'll work on that.
Ryan's fixing it. Okay. How do you like that? It looks like I've walked off the surface of the sun today with this golf shirt that I've got on. I got a Pat's pullover out in my car. If you want to hold this down for a while, I can run out and go get it.
Oh, we're okay. Keep going. We got another golf shirt, too. So.
Okay. True. So, I hate to tell you, I went back and recounted. I think this is show number 247.
What's funny is it? Because yesterday, you said 246 yesterday.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line during the week, you said, "What? I don't know what you said," and I started counting. And I'm like, oh, no, Rick's got it bang on, 246. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
He was counting. So whatever day you said a number, he based it off of that.
He is, he's dialed in.
Oh,
he's dialed in. So I'm going to try and get to as many messages as I can from folks. Trent over in Norway, happy anniversary to all on the Rod Peterson Show. By the way, gold looks good on you. Thank you, Trent in Norway. It's actually yellow, just the way it's come out on the green screen here. So,
and they've adjusted the color, yeah, almost like the bowling, you know, the trophy guy from the Boston Pizza commercials.
Right.
Painted himself gold.
Sure. So I want to get into the quick six show topics. It's going to be a regular show just like every other one, but just a special show. And thank you for the gifts, by the way. Alan, the Asian sensation, would you mind running me over the thing? Because I want to show this to the viewers. And Dupes, while he's doing that, do you want to just tell him what it is?
Sure.
In 30 seconds or less. Come on, Alan.
All the way in.
Hey, come here, Alan. Stand here for a second. Yeah, come here.
There's
Alan, the Asian sensation, everybody. We've allowed him into the building. Okay. Thanks, Al. You're the best. I'm the only guy in the world that calls him Al.
Makes him sound so much older.
What? Paul, what's so funny? Al.
It's going up.
This is the number one for the one-year anniversary. This is every guest that we've ever had. And I kudos to you for doing it.
432 different names.
It's unbelievable.
That Clark's booked on that.
And up to date, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
As I read this, Jay Triano, Charlotte Hornets. Gene Principe, Caron Williams, George Cortez, Brandon Urban. I'm not going to read them all, but Lucky Whitehead, Randy Ambrosi, Lamar Durant.
Conversation piece, give you something to talk about.
Oh, is it ever?
As you try and pick your way
Drew
through
Willie,
all of them.
Jason, Claremont, Tim Hunter. Man, it's the who's who.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, that's Clark right in the back booking all those guests. And your, you know, relationships over the last 30 plus years in the business and beyond. I mean, yeah, it's a symbol of the show.
What did you get yourself?
This seat right next to you.
Okay, good.
I got myself the RP bump, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's good.
I appreciate it. Very happy. So actually, that was point one of our quick six show topics, that it is the one-year anniversary. Let me just say this. I want to ask you all what your favorite moment of the show was in the last year, and that includes the viewers on the Facebook wall. If you want to write in, I actually spilled the beans on Monday that mine was when Bryant Mitchell of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers spilled the beans when I asked him, what do you think of your dad playing with Tom Brady? What do you think of Tom Brady coming to play with your dad in Tampa Bay? And he just, 7-year-old Amari says, I just hope Tom doesn't cheat. Kids so, say the darndest things.
It was so awesome when he did that.
That's my favorite of many. And also, if I may, Kevin Glenn announcing his retirement on his 40th birthday on this show, which was on episode 10. But how about you?
Yeah, I mean, you go back, I mean, with Kelly Rempel and Phil Andrews. That's the classic clip, right? The pimps and whores. I never laughed so hard in my entire life. Seriously? And I keep thinking about it. I don't know if that'll ever get knocked off the pedestal. But the 100th show was pretty good. It was a real treat having George Reed in here. I really enjoyed that. And Bob Poley. The conversations with the Polecat were really good.
We could have him on every day, and he would never run out of stories.
Oh, yeah.
Think I've got stories. He's got a million more stories, hockey and football. Which, by the way, that's the one thing about this show that's new to me. The reason he's referring to pimps and whores is this. I'm now the pimp daddy and the streetwalker. I'm both. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with the heads of, metaphorically speaking, you know, one of the bosses for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with CEOs and presidents and owners of companies, which I've never done before. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They email me. I flip them to you.
Yeah.
Or Paul. But I've never dealt with that in my... I was always a grunt on the front line, which was fine.
Yeah.
But this is kind of cool.
And now
going for lunch with these guys and going to games with these guys.
And you get the payoff at the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It's so much fun. I like it a lot. Now, we're not going to spend a ton of time on, the Black Lives Matter thing. We're going to move on to sports simply because it's not that we don't believe in it. Everybody else is all over it. But there are a couple things that have come up in our sphere in the last 24 to 48 hours. And point two of our quick six show topics is Kahari Jones revealing on a conference call yesterday with media, the head coach of the Alouettes, that he was subject to death threats while as quarterback of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I want to come back and talk about that. I've had some death threats too. Had nothing to do with race, of course, or whom I married or that kind of thing. But point three, Vic Fangio, the Denver Broncos coach, saying that there's no racism in the NFL. And he's under fire. You've been busy in the last 24 hours. You saw the thing?
Yeah.
He really said something that's no different than what I said on Sunday with regards to my time in the CFL. I didn't believe racism was an issue in the CFL. He's saying the same thing about the NFL, and he's just under attack. Mm-hmm. He had to go on ESPN this morning and clarify his comments. And I just wonder, why is he getting nailed to the cross? But I'm not. And I, for two reasons. One, it shows the difference between Canada and America, primarily. And two, I made it very clear in that column on Sunday. I'm not saying there isn't racial issues in the CFL. I'm saying I've never seen them, and they've never been brought forth to me by the players. Yeah. There is a difference.
Big time. He said it's a show-me business, right? I mean, you know, the best players win out. He said, that, you know, the race isn't really part of it. And, you know, I've seen that line of comments too, calling out businesses who are posting, you know, whether it's the Black Square yesterday, saying, show me your executive, right? And the number of times you can tweet Black Lives Matter should reflect the number of people of color you have, you know, working for you or as part of your executive. And that's kind of what he's saying from the Denver Broncos point of view is, well, it's not even about, you know, evening out the numbers. It's about, you know, the qualified people. I think why he's getting attacked is this just isn't the time for that counterargument yet. This isn't the time for it.
It isn't.
There's no time to push back right now. This is the time to jump in and support, right? Don't support with hate, support with love. And that's what we should be doing right now. Whether you agree 100% or not, find your way. But this isn't the time to push back and argue every nuance of it.
Did you see the radio guy for the Sacramento Kings was basically forced to resign because he got into this exact same thing with DeMarcus Cousins?
You can't get into it.
No.
Not now. Not now. Once
now's not the time.
Once the dust settles and the ashes, you know, settle down a little bit, then you can maybe have a real discussion. But this isn't the time.
Okay, so back to sports.
Yes.
Point four. I think this is a delicious topic. My one of my brothers on the phone last night said, "Do more hockey." The guys I'm talking to, they really love more hockey. I said, "Well, hey, that's again my mother tongue. I'm okay with that." So let me say this. which NHL top four seed in each conference will lose in round one, their first round? And the option, there may be, you know there's going to be at least one.
Yeah.
You know there will be.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Maybe two. Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, Philadelphia in the East. Lightning, Flyers, Capitals, or Bruins. And in the West, Blues, Avalanche, Golden Knights, Stars. Let's just drop anchor on that for a second right now. I mean, you know we could spend 2 hours on that. You know that.
The Caps.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, you know, if there's ever a team, and maybe the same applies to the Blues, although I just don't know because I just like that team. And maybe it's because of the Saskatchewan connections on that team. And, you know, there's some there on the Capitals too. But with the Caps, I think you take that time off. You just won a cup recently. There's not as much pressure to go out there and win. So it might be easy to be like, you know what? We're kind of not all into this right now. The crowd's not here. We've done this with the crowd. So maybe, you know, and you're just not into it in your heart. And if you're not into it for a second, if you're half asleep in the NHL playoffs, you're out. You're done. So I think that could happen to Washington. I really do. I think Philly's a team, you know, probably of them that you think is maybe most apt to lose. You don't think of them as the top four team right away, but they're going to be hungry. I think everybody, Dallas included in the West, is going to be hungry. Washington's my team.
Jason in Red Deer is watching. He says, Philly will lose. And I'm thinking that just because they're the new kids on the block. Oh, oh, oh. You know that song, Alan?
The right stuff, isn't it?
No. No. Hanging Tough.
Oh.
Step by step. No, they're the new kids on the block. They're Hanging Tough. The Philly Flyers. They're going down. Now that I think about it, you've...
Yeah.
That's what I've realized. Why'd you just turn red? Because you're not up on your new kids on the block?
I'm not up on my new kids on the block.
You're too young. I'll say Philly in the East. I think the rest will get by. In the West, I think the Stars.
You do, hey?
I've never really been big on their leaders. The coaching change, which had nothing to do with hockey reasons, obviously. But I think the Blues will get through. I think the Avs will get through.
Yeah.
And obviously the Golden Knights will be my team in these playoffs. I think the Stars will go down. If I got to pick one. So you can write in on that too. I just realized something. Since we have Alan, the intern here, the Asian sensation, would you mind running out to my car and grabbing my Pat's pullover that's hanging in the back? Thank you. I love this kid.
Yeah, I know. He's a rock star.
The Asian sensation. Colin from Ottawa writes in and says, Rod was a new kids on the block groupie. I wouldn't say groupie. They came to the Saddle Dome when I lived in Calgary when I was going to college, and I didn't go. So that doesn't make me a groupie, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't mean I don't like their songs either. Point five, the SJHL draft is Friday. I know that probably appeals to a fraction of our viewers, but I don't care. Nor does the SJHL, because it means a lot to a lot of people. The SJHL draft, you and I are going to be hosting it. And I've been given free license by the production crew and the SJHL to find two scouts to come in and be analysts. So I've got two on the line.
Okay.
I think, well, you do know both, I think. But folks, the way we do things is like ESPN. You're going to tune in for the SJHL draft on Sastel Max TV, and you're going to think you're watching the NHL draft. Because that's how we do things, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, been doing a little digging. A lot of the players that went in the WHL draft will go in the SJHL draft. I love the rule that I learned, that if you're from Yorkton, say, no other team in the league can draft you.
Yeah.
They have automatic territorial rights.
Yeah.
And That's great for the kids. Great for the teams.
I've had scouts that have given us all that information, too. So
you've been working on it, have you?
All the territorial players. I haven't been doing the work. They've been doing the work and passing it along. It's my job on Thursday night and tonight a little bit to study all of that stuff in short order. Cram.
The SJHL's watching. They say, let's go! I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
But they said, here's what we got from the production company.
Wrist slap.
No sliders. We are not allowed to wear sandals, flip-flops on the broadcast. The hell's wrong with you guys? That's what we're doing. We're starting a movement. Or at least I thought we were.
Didn't realize we're going to have so many shots of our feet on the air.
We got to dress up.
Yeah.
Okay. We're having so darn much fun. Mikey Wayne writes in, says, good morning from Beau Sejour, Manitoba. Sasky expat reporting. Good morning, Mikey, and to all our friends in Manitoba. Jerry is watching in New Brunswick. She says, good way to pump up hometown players and crowds. Absolutely. The SJHL might be on to something. Mm-hmm. The CFL used to have that, territorial rights. Help build the brands.
Exactly.
Andrew Harris would have never gone to the BC Lions. Now, there's some sort of oppression potentially to this. If the teams already know they're going to get the local players, maybe they don't have to pay them as much. I'm not talking about the SJ because they don't pay them, but
right.
I don't know if it would work in pro as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would either. But it is in the team's interest to have local players.
Of course.
You know, when you have guys like Scott McHenry playing with the Riders, people show up to watch him. And you get that community support. I think that's really great. I think that could happen, you know, in the SJHL. I think that's big. I wish it happened more in the WHL. I know, especially, you know, somewhere like Saskatoon. They hate when the Saskatoon kids go out west or get drafted somewhere else and go have success somewhere else and not in Saskatoon. But, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun on Friday.
Well, interesting. Roxanne Theris is watching in Saskatoon. She says, happy anniversary to all of you from all of us at Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Thank you, Roxanne, and to all of our sponsors and partners. There would not be us at all without folks like Roxanne and Darnell at Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. So the thanks goes to you. Yeah.
Whether you're with us from day one or not.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
Whoa, this is cool. From Bjarni Eikinger, greetings from Norway. My first time watching. More NHL doesn't sound bad. Oh, he wants more hockey talk. Everybody wants the hockey talk. We try to make a balance here. We try to butter both sides of the bread. And we're also huge lacrosse fans, too, of the NLL. And speaking of all of that, Robert Kazakov writes in, he says, do you think Cole Fonstad will be redrafted after not signing with Montreal? And that's why I love this show that I can talk about all these things. Cole Fonstad's the Estevan kid, played for the PA Raiders, drafted by Montreal, not signed, dealt away from PA, which was a lot of, ooh, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
He's a great player. He's a fantastic player. But Cole Fonstad, going to have to figure it out. My guess is that he will be drafted, but he's got to put his nose to the grindstone. Carlos Lehena watching. I can only imagine from Mexico. He says, players bounce around from team to team a bit too often these days for hometown players to have that much of a meaning. Not if they stay there, though. That's the point.
That is the point.
And that he's from Indiana. Thank you. I was close.
That applies to all teams, even whether you're from there or not. We want more longevity. I think we're on the same page on that. You want players to stay in one place a lot longer than they are right now, build that identity. And that's how you build a great fan base, right, is some continuity. But we're in that spot where teams and players are moving around too much, and it's become a little bit of a problem, especially in the CFL with the short contracts. So I'd like to see more of that for sure.
SJHL very innovative with that rule, and we'll be broadcasting the draft along with Mike Stackhouse on Friday. It's just going to be fantastic. Cooper Campbell, football guy in Mississippi, is watching. He says, congrats on your anniversary, guys. Keep up the good work. And Frenzy's girlfriend takes. Didn't realize I was opening up such a can of worms regarding Joe 747. Yes, you did, Cooper. That's why you asked it. Don't BS a BSer. Which reminds me, these guys say they want more hockey. Well, why do you think that five of our top regions for viewership are Mississippi, Nevada, Ohio, Florida, and North Dakota? They're all football hotbeds. I think we got the right mix, Darren.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And point six, as we'll break shortly and bring in Gary Lawless from the Vegas Golden Knights, who means a lot to us because he was our first ever guest, is simply this. I was a little depressed last night. My wife literally said, what's wrong with you? And I said, this is so crazy right now. Imagine being a CFL player, coach, just sitting there doing nothing. Now, I understand a lot of the other leagues have gotten through the same thing. She says, what about all the people that have lost their jobs? At least these guys have jobs. I said, I know, but I'm just thinking about those guys. That's what's got me down right at this moment. Do you foresee an end to this soon or anytime soon?
I don't know.
Because we've been, today's 83, 84 days.
I know.
It seems like we're no damn further ahead than we were 2.5 months ago. And now it doesn't affect us, really.
No.
But I feel sorry for the people that it's affected.
I do, big time. And, you know, Randy comes on the show and I get excited. I mean, football's coming back.
Right.
We're ready to go. They make out the announcement. Football's coming back. We're ready to go. And but then you go into 3-4 days of nothing really happening. And it's not their fault. I mean, they're working on things. You can't expect, you know, real news every single day. But, yeah, I fall back into, I just don't know if this is ever going to happen. It's really hard to see it. But I try and still remain optimistic.
Okay. They're telling me to check out Braden Holtby's latest tweet. It's the first time he's tweeted since 2017. So I'll do that in the break. When we come back, a sports update. Oh, from Holtz 170. Oh, it's about Black Lives Matter. Okay, that's cool. I thought it had to do with the fact that he's announcing they're coming back. Which, by the way, I think John Scott should stay out of the insider business.
June 1st, isn't that what he said?
He said June 1st, training camps will open. We'll be back. We'll see if Gary Lawless knows something. This has been the rollout for our friends at Flooring Superstore. We'll be back after this timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show. 1 year anniversary special. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Congratulations, Rod Peterson, on your 1 year television anniversary. So blessed to be on the show from here and there, but to call you a friend and a mentor, thank you so much. Here's to many more. Keep up the great work. I'll see you soon.
Hi, Rod. Congratulations on 1 year of the Rod Peterson Show. Pretty amazing stuff, and so is your show. The show is 1 year. You know what else is number one? You are. Here's to many more. Take care, brother.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey Rod, wanted to say congratulations. 1 year on the air, and you're in and around 250 shows in that span of time. I think I've been on the show 3 different times, if my count is correct. And let me say, in my 30 plus years in and around hockey and being a part of interviews, the interview I've done on your show is among them. It's among all those interviews. So congratulations and thanks for having me on and keep having me on. Doing a great job, buddy.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, Grimmer, he had me all worked up. Of all the interviews I've done, oh, what's he gonna say? You're one of them.
Right.
Thanks, Grimmer. Watching in Nashville today. One of my favorite Pats. By the way, I guess it's probably apropos. I did a quick change in the phone booth, put on my Pats pullover. Thank you, Alan, the Asian sensation, for getting it. Probably appropriate. It is my favorite team in the world, the Regina Pats. It hurts so bad when I had to choose between the Pats and the Riders. And you saw which choice I made.
Of course.
But I think it was obvious at the time, but things are getting back calibrated, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Back to the way that they should be. Just ahead of Gary Lawless, sports update. Canadian Amen Ogbongamiga, a linebacker at Oklahoma State University, says he tested positive for COVID-19 after attending a protest in Tulsa on the weekend. The Calgary resident made the announcement on his Twitter account. The 21-year-old says he protected himself during the protest. The Denver Broncos halted football yesterday to talk about racial injustice, police brutality, and the healing of a country. President Joe Ellis addressed the offense and defense in separate Zoom calls in place of regular video conference sessions. He spoke about the protests that have followed George Floyd's tragic death, the COVID-19 pandemic, and its economic impact. Japan's Yomiuri Giants canceled an exhibition game today amid reports at least one player may have tested positive for the coronavirus. Japanese baseball was looking to begin June 19th in empty stadiums, but this now puts the 12-team league in jeopardy of being able to start. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. From Brad Hersina, retired Army Major. Hey, Rod, congratulations on your first year. You nailed it. Thank you, Brad. We all did. It's a great team here. On my commentary that ran on Cat Country this morning, I said we have a competition to see who gets in first every day and who's the last to leave. I never thought I'd see those days again in my lifetime at a workplace.
Yeah.
That's what we have here. And Brad, by the way, is one of the guys that contributed this Army helmet. If you guys want, can go to a wide shot. That was the type of helmet that was worn in Korea by our Canadian Armed Forces. Nice work. Right under the Navy hat. There you go. A little bit of a competition between the two. As we await Gary Lawless checking in from Las Vegas, as it just seems like they're getting back to business. Just the Golden Knights, for instance, they announced the name of their American League team the other day, the Silver Knights. I watched that on Facebook Live. The Knights seem busy. It's not like everybody's sitting on their ass. Some are in sports, but not everybody. The leaders definitely are not. But I wanted to mention this, the Kahari Jones death threats. Just in terms of story time, that's one of the things that makes this show popular.
Yeah.
Is the death threats that I've received. Death threats, physical harm threats. I've had quite a few. And Kahari's, I would suggest, far more serious than mine. It's an article that's up at rodpeterson.com. Canadian Press carried it across the nation today. It had to do with him being in an interracial marriage. Actually, Gary's ready, so we'll pause it. I'll tell that story later. Just maybe that's where we'll start with Gary. Unless he's, I can't imagine he's tired of talking about it. I got to bring in Gary Lawless of the Vegas Golden Knights because he knows Kahari. And if you know him, you love him. Gary, what did you think? Good morning, by the way, and thanks for coming on and being our first ever guest on the program. What did you think when you heard Kahari say that? Or were you aware of that way back at the time?
Yeah, I can remember hearing something of that nature at the time. That was actually my first year on the beat in Winnipeg. I covered the team with Ed Tate and the late Randy Turner, and that team went to the Grey Cup. Milt Stegall, Jerron Bolden, they had it was a really good football team. Charles Roberts. Brendan Labatt was a young player, Doug Brown. Kahari was a very, still is, you know, a really interesting guy. He had done theater at, I think he went to Sacramento State. I think that's where he played. And he had done theater there. He had done a ton of things. His wife, Justine, was a columnist for the Winnipeg Free Press during some of their time in Winnipeg. And I can remember there were undertones. I can remember listening to Colin Show on CJOB one time, and the guy called in and he didn't call him Kahari Jones. He called him Safari Jones. And it was just, you know, I can just sort of, you know, it was never overt, but there was, you know, there were racial undertones at that time with having a black quarterback in Winnipeg. Winnipeg is has a long history with professional athletes of color in both baseball and football, a little bit of hockey as well. So, you know, obviously, it's really unfortunate that that Kahari went through this. I was texting with Milt Stegall the other day, and I'll say this out front. I grew up in small town Canada, and I've never felt racism, obviously, you know, directed in my way. So I don't know. I can't walk in someone else's shoes. I love that great quote from John F. Kennedy about, you know, if you wouldn't want to switch skin color with someone in the United States, how can the country be, you know, what you want it to be? And I'm butchering the quote, but it's an important statement from JFK. Anyways, Milton and I were texting back, and he was talking about, you know, his oldest son is 16 now, and how he's, you know, afraid to let him leave in the car. And I can't even. That's just one person and one segment of this whole experience, and I can't imagine that. I'm pretty proud of a lot of the white athletes that have stepped forward and lent their voice to this. In particular, the hockey players. Braden Holtby has a real powerful statement out there today. The hockey players are kind of known for their silence on a lot of these issues, and they've stepped forward here, which has been impressive. And obviously, I live in the United States. I am Canadian. And my wife said to me last night, wouldn't it be great if we were on the precipice of real change and we were going to be here living in the U.S. To experience, you know, a real change in and a weakening and a knocking down of the systemic racism that plagues this country. And I will say Canada, too. Obviously, the way we've treated Native Canadians has for a long time is abhorrent, and I don't think anybody should be looking down their nose at anyone else. And I forget who said it yesterday. I think it might have been Jarmo Kekalainen said the first place to look right now is in the mirror, and I found that to be a real important statement. We can all look at ourselves. And I guess the other thing that kind of really has been driven home to me here is it's not enough to not be a racist. You have to be anti-racist. And that's something I've been thinking. I've been watching a lot and listening a lot. And that's something I've been thinking about the last little while.
Oh, I know. And when somebody says a racial term instead of just biting your tongue, you got to say, that's not right, man. That's just stupid. And by the way, Duran says, Duran says Canadians just hide it better. That's Duran. I don't know if it's true or not. He's a beauty. But the one thing about the black players that have come through, people of color, in the CFL that I've talked with, and I won't spend a lot more time on this, they don't overtly talk about it. But if you do ask them, it's like turning the key and they'll talk about their experiences, right? Which says a lot about their character. But here,
we're not perfect for sure, right? Let's not pretend we are.
No kidding.
Let's all try and be better.
I do want to get to the Golden Knights in a second. Are you in the rink because it's cool in there? Do they have the ice in? Are you there because it's so hot?
We do have the ice in, put it this way. I like to get up early, but I walked out of the house at 5:05 a.m. this morning with the dogs to take them for their walk around the neighborhood, because it's by 7 o'clock. Once that sun comes up, it's we're going through a little bit of a warm spell right now. supposed to be really nice next week, and we've been blessed with up until last week. It was the weather has been tremendous here, but it's triple digits. We're headed to triple digits today, that's for sure.
Unbelievable. Some of our viewers have questions, if you don't mind answering them, Gary, from Nelson.
Yeah.
What is the saying above Gary's head? Celebrate the goal horn. And from Tony, he says, Gary, I love the whole idea behind the Henderson Silver Knights. One of the best stories behind a name, logo, and legacy. Can you answer those?
Sure. Celebrate the goal horn is... Our organization has some real culture cornerstones, and one of them is when someone else does something great, celebrate it. So someone else in the organization, when the goal horn goes off, if someone else gets a goal, make sure you celebrate that as much as you would celebrate when you do something well yourself. So we've got these, I'm looking at a saying right here. Like hockey, community is a contact sport. I'm looking at another one that says anyone can be a first star. Support your line mates. We've got all these things around the office in an effort to motivate one another to do good things. Henderson Silver Knight.
Yeah. Regarding the Silver Knights,
this is fantastic. They had 7,600 ticket deposits. So last Thursday night, we did a show here. It was on VegasGoldKnights.com, but it was also broadcast on the NBC affiliate here, like the main affiliate, Channel 3 on your dial here in Vegas. They ran it live, and they did a 3-share. That's like a bigger number than I would suggest 50% of the teams in the United States do for their games, NHL teams. This was a reveal show to reveal the name of the American Hockey League franchise that they've purchased and relocated here to Henderson, Nevada, to reveal the name and the logo. And I don't know if you've seen the logo, but it is we did it in-house, our graphics team. They did our design team. They did a fantastic job. It's really cool. A 3-share, that's Rod Peterson numbers. That is like,
yeah. I think you have it. Yeah, you're wrong. We have 3 people watching, not 3-share. Continue.
really exciting. Bill Foley, one of the things that he sort of pledged to do when he bought the Golden Knights was to grow the game in Nevada. He has played a role now in the building of 6 ice sheets in Vegas. T-Mobile Arena, the 2 here at City National Arena where I'm at, 2 more at Lifeguard Arena, which is poised to open this fall, and then the Henderson Event Center it will be the 6th sheet. The 6th sheet that Bill Foley has played a role in, and they're going to need more. Hockey has really taken off here, and there's over 2,000 kids involved in minor programs out of this arena. So now that this other arena is going to be open in Henderson, those numbers are going to spike again. It's funny. My daughter lived in Winnipeg and had very little interest in playing hockey, and in Vegas, she's like, "Daddy, I want to play hockey." She's been taking skating lessons and wants to. She said to me the other day, "When can I start skating again?" So it's become very popular here, and that's a great sign because you need to grow the game, and you need to have that grassroots level to make your franchise viable over the long haul.
For sure. Just one more, because we only got a couple minutes left, but I'll say this. You met my brother there. We were blown away by the fact your practice rink was packed. Standing ovation when the Knights come out for practice. And my brother said, "Well, this isn't going to go away because they got plane loads of fresh victims coming in every week." But that's what he said. But I'm like, they're mostly local people, though. You just mentioned the viewers and the ticket deposits. Yeah. It's not tourists, right?
Not many people get out of bed on the strip at 9 in the morning and take an Uber 20 miles to City National Arena, or 20 minutes to City National Arena, to watch a team practice. Those are locals. Those are people that that live in Vegas and that want to get close to the players. There's an, like that opportunity at City National Arena to be up against the glass for free is, you know, it's a, for a hockey fan, it's a fantastic opportunity to watch Pete DeBoer run practice, to have Marc-Andre Fleury come up to the glass and, you know, smile at your kid. And then usually there's a couple of guys that will come off the ice after practice and sign autographs for a while. It's a chance for locals to get up close and personal with the Golden Knights.
Okay, lastly, can you assure me that you're safe? Because I'll be honest, I'm not the only one up here that's seeing riots in Vegas, and we worry about yourself, the Millards, all our friends. Are you safe?
Yeah, I know. Sure. They actually, there was no rioting last night. There was a protest, and it was safely done. The night before, obviously, was a tragic night. A police officer was shot, and another person was shot as well. This is the one thing that I'm struggling with. You know, obviously, you know, I'm supporting Black Lives Matter and want what happened to George Floyd to be the catalyst for change. But boy, oh boy, I don't want to see anybody, especially police officers that are there to protect and serve. And most of them do protect and serve. There are, there's bad apples in police forces like there are in any walk of life, but most of them are good people and good at their jobs. And certainly don't want to see any of those people injured. I understand the protests and I support the protests. We definitely need to hear those voices, but I think we have to do it peacefully.
All right, Gary, love you, buddy. Thanks for the update. Glad that you are doing so great, and keep it up. Stay safe, and thanks for the support.
Yeah, happy anniversary. I'm thrilled that you guys have lasted a year. I'm not surprised. I knew as soon as I watched a few of the pre-shows, and I thought it looked really slick. And Rod, you're a compelling personality, and you've done a great job getting fantastic guests. This has become one of the most important sports programs in Canada. I'm not on it enough. I've got a beef with the producers about that, but real glad to be a friend of the show, as they say on Jay and Dan.
You betcha. Thank you, Gary. Did you have something?
No, I got to say, year two's off to a much better start, because when we had him on the first time, on the very first show, the video didn't work all that well.
Let's upgrade.
We've upgraded, and yeah.
They call them upgrades. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Gary. We'll be back. I believe Dave Naylor is ready to go. More of your comments and questions coming up. We'll get to the poll. By the way, given what you know, do you believe there will be CFL games played in 2020? You can vote on that on Twitter and Facebook now, and we'll put that to Dave Naylor to lead off when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
What's up, Rod Peterson? It's Cody Fajardo here. I want to give you a huge congratulations on a one-year anniversary, 250-plus episodes. Honestly, the CFL content that you push out is what fans need, and especially during times like this. And as a player, I appreciate you getting that content out to the fans and also connecting us players with the fans. So that I truly appreciate. Also, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for always having my back. And when crazy fans come at you or attack me and you come to my rescue, I really appreciate that. So congratulations on 1 year once again. Look forward to the many, many shows to come. Have a wonderful day. Go Riders.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hey, Roddy. Jim Hobson here. Congrats on your one-year anniversary. Once again, you have perplexed your critics and surprised your friends and family by outkicking your coverage. All the best for much more success.
Hey, Rod. Just want to congratulate you on the one-year anniversary of your show. Always love coming on and being a guest. Being a big fan, obviously, since the Regina Pat days when we were riding the bus together and, playing Madden against each other. So, obviously, keep it going and go Riders, go.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
You're going to make me cry. All of this is a surprise. Thank you, guys.
We're not even an hour in.
Thanks to Ebbs. Thanks to Hoppy. Thanks to Cody Fajardo. And I want to say Orin Karen's writing us on Twitter. We met at the Rush game. Do you remember he asked to stop for a photo?
Yep.
She says, because he goes, can I get a photo? And my daughter was there with a friend. She's like, oh my God.
Again?
Yeah. Orin says, listen to the first episode in the tractor working fields. 1 year later, same thing. Congratulations, Rod and gang. Thank you, Orin Karens. I appreciate that. And thanks for stopping me on the concourse at that Rush game. Or was it a Rattlers game? No, it was a Rush game. Okay, let's go back out on the video chat. Dave Naylor, thanks for patiently sitting through the break and all of this. TSN CFL insider joining us. Hey, Nails, how you doing, man?
Did you just say your daughter rolls her eyes when somebody like wants to get a picture with you or something?
Oh, yeah.
This would be, I believe, Rod, this would be the common daughter experience based on my own. Nothing gets more of a groan if I'm in Walmart with a shopping cart and something like that happens. No, I hear you.
Certainly not a big deal to them. Dave.
No.
I haven't checked the poll up results. I said I was going to, but I haven't. I'm afraid to. The question is, do you feel, given what we know, that there'll be CFL games in 2020, how would you vote?
I would vote no, but I need to put some context on that no. I would say I feel more optimistic than I did a month ago, probably more optimistic than I did 2 weeks ago. There's a time that I probably would have handicapped it at about 10% or less. Yeah, you know, I feel kind of more in the 20-25% range, which is I have to vote no because my mind tells me I still think it's going to be very, very difficult. But I think where we've got to is a few things. There's the virus is more under control, especially in your part of the country. There is scientific evidence that suggests that people are at far less risk being outdoors than indoors, which again. This is where the CFL playing has an advantage, frankly, over the National Hockey League or the NBA when it comes to when you start to consider the idea of putting limited numbers of fans into a game. I feel like I will not be surprised at all if there's not a CFL season, and I've prepared myself for it. And most of the people I talk to on a daily basis within the league are certainly prepared for that that turn. But they are still trying. And really, I think what's happening right now is, I said to somebody recently, I said, are you guys just kind of, you know, treading water at this time? And he said, no, I'd say we're swimming for shore. I wouldn't use treading for water. And the idea being that they're working on different models, different scenarios, costing them out. So when the point comes where a decision is going to have to be made, and they'll look at the circumstances and decide what the best option is. And maybe the best option is not to play, but if it is to play, they'll know exactly what they need based on the model that they choose. That it's not going to be this kind of, you know, the criticism the league took for having a very a request for aid that lacked a lot of detail. I think there's going to be a lot of detail worked out, and I think that's what's happening behind the scenes right now.
You've done what you were supposed to do, hoping for the best, brace for the worst. But it was interesting with your Twitter. I mean, your Twitter is very popular, and you mentioned how, I don't know that this is what you meant, but you said they're more optimistic or looking more forward to it in Western Canada than the East. And Scott Mitchell, the Ticats president, got in your grill about that, saying, oh, maybe talk to people in Hamilton. Well, how do you feel about the tug of war between the regions of the country and even the teams?
Well, I think it's kind of totally coincidental, but it's strange almost that the safety related to the virus coincides exactly where the places where the CFL has a greater meaning. I mean, we know it's the prairies, right? I mean, this is a league where the heart and soul of the league is found in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. Now, people in Hamilton, the Hamilton thing is, and for people who don't have a lot of experience in Southern Ontario, it really is, even for me, who's lived here most of my life, amazing. You know, I spent 16 years in Ottawa and 2 years in Saskatchewan, but most of my upbringing is here, and I've been back here now for 12 and a half years. Without traffic, if I was to drive from BMO Field to Tim Hortons Field, it's about 45 minutes. Maybe not even that much. But it's like you drive to a different world, you know, because Scott Mitchell is right. I mean, Ticat fans are hardcore. You know, the demographic is good at a Ticats game. There's lots of young people. There's lots of jerseys. You know, it's one thing to say, well, Toronto's like this, and out in Saskatchewan, they're like, yeah, well, Saskatchewan is 30 hours away by drive, right? It's a different place and different part of the country, and we have different cultures when you move across. But Hamilton's 45 minutes away from BMO Field. So he's right about that. But my point was just that because people's lives are coming back to normal more quickly out in the West, and because people are way more conscious of the idea that the CFL needs to play to be part of that sense of normalcy, I think there is more optimism there. I mean, frankly, in Toronto, you know, it's the Argonauts, are they going to play or not, is not the dominant conversation. You know, I can't speak to what it is in Ottawa right now or Montreal, but it's just almost just strangely coincidental that you know, the virus has been most absent in places where Canadian football means the most.
This is amazing. So Dan Kurtz, he's a Korean baseball blogger, lives in Tacoma. Okay. He's written in, says, due to current situations with numbers in Ontario and Quebec, is there any chance that the league opts for hub cities out west? What's the latest on the hub cities?
I think, and this is just my opinion, I think almost all of the concentration on how the Canadian Football League will play this season is around Western Canada. I think there's a very, like, if you ask me that question off the top, what is the likelihood we will have CFL games played in Ontario and Quebec this year? I wouldn't have given you 20%. I might give you one. I think that is one of the realities that has emerged over the last several weeks, that it's going to be, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in Western Canada. And I think that, you know, the hub city model, it's funny. And I brought this up on a SportsCenter hit with Farhan Lalji last week. There was a suggestion that came to me on Twitter two Fridays ago where a fan said, what if you deposited each of the Eastern teams into a Western city? Essentially, I'm just going to make this up for example, but the Ticats become the Winnipeg Ticats for this year. I mean, not in name, but you know what I'm saying. The Argos become the Saskatchewan Argonauts, the Alouettes become the Calgary Alouettes, and the Red Blacks become the Edmonton Red Blacks. And you just take advantage of where the virus isn't present, or less present, shall we say. And that, would that make more sense than stuffing nine teams into one city, or four teams into one, or five or another? Now, the other way, I call this the adopt a team model. I talked to Solomon Elamimian about this one, just, you know, introducing him to this idea when we were talking. And And you know, we kind of just spitballing. This is just the two of us spitballing. And we were like, well, couldn't you have one team practice from have the facility from 7 a.m. till noon? And another one has the facility using the visitor's locker room from 1 till 6 or 1 till 7. You know, like there's it, in some ways, in terms of the use of facilities, a number of teams you have to accommodate. And again, then you don't have to put guys necessarily in hotels. A player could, you know, get a flat in Regina instead of getting a flat in Hamilton if it's, that's where his season is going to be. Now, from what I understand, this may have been talked about some way. It's sort of an extension of the hub city model, like because the hub city model comes with one city, it comes with two, and I guess you can just expand it to three or four. But I believe, and we talked about this last week, that this conversation, that this is part of the conversation. And whether it was before my Twitter the followers suggested it, and by the way, you know, like not, I mean, I took this idea to the commissioner and brought it to him. I don't take every Twitter suggestion I get to the commissioner, but you know, we had a conversation about it as well. So it's certainly one that's getting some conversation. The big problem with it, and with all models that don't involve one or two cities, and I'm learning this, is the thing that people are really afraid of, or most afraid of, is travel. It's like, hey, we can put guys in a city. Hey, we can tell them to social distance, you know, when they're, and we can do testing and social distancing when you're not in the facility, and we can practice and we can play and maybe we get some fans in. But what makes people nervous is the idea of getting 50 football players, a dozen coaches, 10 support staff, like having a crew of 75 or 80 people that you've got to move across the country to another part of the country. That's what makes people nervous. Because, and you know, look, the odds right now of getting coronavirus in Manitoba or Saskatchewan are probably not that different than getting hit by lightning. The difference is if a football player gets hit by lightning, it's not going to infect 30 other guys on his team. That's the reality. So I don't know whether if you had the league hubbed in five Western cities, I mean, BC would obviously stay in BC, whether or not you could do the junior hockey thing and say, guys, you know, we don't want to have 7 and 8 hour bus drives to games, but these are unusual times. And it's a lot safer for us to stuff 50 guys onto a bus and take them 7 or 8 hours away for a game than it is to transition through airports and those kinds of things. So I think all these kinds of conversations are being had.
We did it in 01, traveled by bus, if you remember, with the Riders, and the other teams did on the prairies. Desperate times call for desperate measures. We have time for one more question, Dave, and these are from two of our viewers. One wants to know your thoughts on CFL 3.0. I proposed a cap by position and on football ops and management. So there's that. Have you thought about what CFL 3.0 could look like? And what about the NFL? Spacing in stadiums. They say they're going to play with full stadiums. Where do you want to go? Which one do you want to tackle?
I'll try to hit both of them quickly. Okay. CFL 3.0, I think the commissioner is trying to get ahead of this, and not maybe even just for this season, but if you listen to what he's saying, sort of for the foreseeable future, the economics of the league are going to change. And look, one thing about this commissioner, he's always said there are no sacred cows, right? We don't always have to do things. And this may be the ultimate opportunity circumstance where you have to throw every sacred cow out the window. And honestly, I think you got to kind of work backwards here. Rather than saying, what should we cut this? I think you got to start with how much revenue are we playing with here? Like, you know, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders played with $38 million in revenue last year. What are they playing with next year in 2021? Are they playing with 15? Are they playing with 20? Are they playing with 10? I think you got to start there and say, what are the revenue projections for this league? And it's like going to the grocery store, right? It's like if you get cash, you can only shop with the cash you have. How much cash does the league have? How much do they have to spend? And I think you work that direction. On the NFL, I'm going to be fascinated to watch it, guys. There are certainly geographic areas of the country where they have attitudes about this virus that you and I wouldn't recognize in our own communities. I think that they're... it's inevitable with the number of players and even traveling just once a week, they will have positive tests. I think they'll be playing, and I think they'll be playing on time. I think there are going to be problems. I think it's just inevitable that if you've got fans in stadiums, particularly in large numbers of fans in certain centers, there's going to be issues. And, you know, the NFL has, this is kind of understated, not always been known for its social conscience, whether it was with regard to the health and safety of players in the past, the Colin Kaepernick issue and others. I don't think the NFL can or should, it may do this, but I don't think it should proceed as if it's immune to all of this. So far it has, but guess what? They haven't had to have a player gathering. It's been a draft, right? It's been free agency. It's everything's been virtual. Now that they're going to move towards the real, I hope they don't carry the attitude with them that, you know, they're the immunity that the NFL has towards, frankly, so many things in the world. They often call it the Teflon League. I don't think if it acts like it's Teflon in this case, it's going to have some challenges. And I expect that in any circumstance, it will have challenges.
For sure. I feel like the stuff's already hitting the fan with Goodell telling teams that for the Cowboys, for instance, you can't go to Oxnard. You got to stay in your city. It's starting to change for the NFL. Dave, I absolutely love talking with you. I appreciate the time and all of your support with us on the program, man. And keep up the great work.
Well, congratulations, Rod. I was thinking before I came on the show today that I think you and I met in 1994 or 95 when I was living in Regina and you were coming into the Pats job. And I left town not long after that. But this is, as we all know, not an easy business to have a long career in sometimes, especially on the broadcast side of it. You got to be willing to reinvent yourself along the way. You've done that, and congratulations, and it's been a pleasure to be part of your show, and congratulations on your anniversary, man. I look forward to making many more visits with you.
Thank you, Nails. Appreciate having you on the team. All right. Dave Naylor from Toronto joining us on video chat. And by the way, with the upgrade, see how smooth that is? How smooth Gary was, how smooth Dave is video-wise? That's the upgrades that these guys, the best tech team in the business, have put together. Paul, yourself. So we have come a long way in a year, and I'm not joking. On camera, off camera, you get so much out of talking to Dave Naylor.
Oh, yeah.
And just sit back and let him go. Because he's got a million opinions. He'll let you know he's in the right business. Let's put it that way.
For sure.
We got to take a timeout and come back an hour or two. And that's going to be a lot of fun. The Rider fans in particular are going to love it. Ken Miller and Darian Durant with us. We'll go rattle through these quick six show topics again. Talk about the poll. Lots to get to, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Rod Peterson Show, one-year anniversary edition, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Rod, Enoch Mwamba here. Just wanted to congratulate you on an amazing year. Man, what an achievement it is to have completed a full year of the show. Everybody loves it, love the content on a daily basis, so consistent. Again, congratulations, and looking forward to many more years.
Hey, Rod, just want to say happy one-year anniversary. Thanks for having me along for the ride. I know you guys are only going to go onwards and upwards from here. It's amazing what you've put together, and I hope those Roddyisms keep sticking, and I appreciate you having me on the show to help me get my own brand out around Saskatchewan and all of the Western provinces. So here's to many more years on the air, the Rod Peterson Show.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
So one terrific year in the books of the Rod Peterson Show. Congratulations. It was a fantastic idea. I've had the great fortune of not only being on the show, but all the times that I've watched the show. Terrific concept. You guys have done an excellent job. Good show, done by good people.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.